Right now, it is time for some guys that always bear with me because I throw curveballs at them all the time because basically on what they talk about, I'm in left field. And that is Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack. They join us here on Robin Hood Radio with Appraise This. You can find them on the web at tqag.com. And hopefully through all my setup, they are magically going to be here. Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
We are here.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, we are here. It's a good thing you can't see me anyway this morning. So
I can't. You know, it's funny. I've got everything through this one small screen, and in my years in broadcasting, I've come through a lot of problems, I've learned over the years that not to get too excited about it, but now that we're in the computer age, for the first times in the computer age, I've never sat here in a studio. You're always surrounded by computers that are on, and all these monitors are off, and it's the strangest feeling in the world to sit here with no monitors. It's just unbelievable. But unfortunately for you, I did print out some things.
Oh, good.
That I want to bring up. And the first thing is I want to go to there's an auction coming up for Thanksgiving. And once again, it involves famous artists. There's an auction coming up in Norman Rockwell's Home for Thanksgiving. Are you guys familiar with that painting?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, coming up with Heritage Auctions presented a Norman Rockwell Home for Thanksgiving for its auction, and of course, if you're familiar with that, it's a mother and a son or a husband sitting there. I don't know how the auction turned out. The canvas was 35 inches by 33 inches. I don't know what it went for. The estimate was going to be $4 million to $6 million. I don't know.
Ah, well, that was just recently.
Yeah, it was, I think, what's today? Today is the, it's coming up on the 5th. Coming up on the 5th. I think that's
because there was, yeah, it's the painting, it's probably one of his most iconic pieces, really. It's what you think of when you Norman Rockwell is what you think of when you look at it. But then again, everything you look at by Norman Rockwell looks like a Norman Rockwell.
Well, I was going to say,
so that was stupid.
But that's you know, and some people take that as a criticism, but that's not a criticism. That's his style, and his style hit a certain nerve. And why change if you're successful with your style? We've got the Norman Rockwell Museum just up the road from us in Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah.
Why, you know, I mean, he's got a distinctive style, and it happened to be something that hit home with a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing is that this is coming up. Actually, the auction is November 5th, yeah. So we have a couple days, 3 days. But it's an interesting I guess Norman Rockwell, you think of capturing the American spirit and just the American way of life, basically. But years ago, when Greg and I had our own appraisal business, I had an opportunity to work with a family member who told me that the way that he felt his father was a hack, and that he took Polaroids. Like, he would pose these images, and it's interesting because if you go to Heritage's website and you look up this story about this, there is a Polaroid. There's a black and white, I don't know if it's a Polaroid, but it's a black and white photo of the setup of how they were posed, so that then instead of having the individuals sit for the rendering of whatever the artist was doing, is that he took all kinds of black and white photography and some Polaroids and all sorts of things for these works. So these would be his studies that he would then be able to go back to and create. So that, and it's interesting to see that in this article that it does bring that up, and which is great. So it's just a little bit of an insight into the artwork, but it's also because not only, I mean, it's big because it's also illustrative art. So it was original artwork, but then it was also used for the cover of, you know, of the magazines. So it's Norman Rockwell. So it's a great crossover. It'll be interesting to see what this ends up selling for, and we'll have to talk about it next week.
His son called him a hack?
Yeah.
I bet you the son doesn't mind living off the money of that hack.
Well, there was no love lost. Let's just say that. So,
apparently, Norman Rockwell did not appreciate the fact that he was called an illustrator. He was an artist. So, and that's how he thought of himself. But he sort of got that pin in him that was, well, Norman Rockwell, the greatest illustrator of our time. So, I read something when we were, when Tim was doing the research for the museum, and we had to do some research, and that's where we found out some of these things. And of course, you know, having the first generation family to talk to was also very good. So, but you won't find very many non-Rockwell looking paintings, but he did do some, but none of them have come up.
All right. Well, I want to move on to dinner plates, because Heritage Auctions is coming up with an auction on November 16th, I think. Tiffany & Company dinner plates, okay? There's a set of six of these plates. And once again, the pre-sale auction estimate, $6,000 to $8,000 about those plates. You would figure it would be a little bit more. Maybe I'm just off base there. But when you hear the name Tiffany, you always think very, very high prices. I do anyway.
Yeah, well, the plates were made for Tiffany. Unlike the jewelry, which they make, you know, the silver, all of the other Tiffany products, they don't produce the china. It was produced usually by other companies, and then it was made for Tiffany's. And Tiffany, it's funny you mentioned these particular plates, because working on an appraisal right now, and if you think that's expensive, you should see what some of these other plates have gone for. $8,000 for 12 silver plates. So I mean, there was a time where good stuff always sells, but if these were not what they were, they probably would not even be offered by the major companies, because we've gone through this for, gosh, so many times where the porcelain, no one uses it that much anymore. But now there seems to be a trend that it's kind of picking up again. So, and always these plates that were produced for Tiffany's always do sell well. So I anticipate that they're going to do very well. I mean, there are so many of them, that plates that are for sale that are by Tiffany, if you go to the major auction houses, and some of them haven't been seen before because they're, you know, a lot of them are the older, you know, from the 1900s, the Art Nouveau period. So, and then because they were made a lot of times by other porcelain companies, people see the company and they don't realize that they were made for Tiffany unless they actually take the time to look on the back and see it's in Tiffany and Company. So, but they always sell well.
Yeah, well, also in that sale that's coming up, and it's at Heritage. It's actually, there are six, and this is another another six plates that are in the auction. They are storing. So it's a set of six dinner plates, and it's the shell and thread pattern, and it has an opening bid of $3,000. So it'll be interesting. It's in their silver sale, and they have a grouping of silver, so that just came up. And yesterday, actually, Heinemann just had their silver sale that did really well. They had some nice early pieces. They also had some Tiffany. So it's one of those things that I think that people understand, and if they are going to collect it, they also understand that they also have to polish it. And that's part of the reason why the market, people don't, they want to get rid of a lot of the sterling silver. They don't want to clean it. But if you are a diehard collector and love that stuff and take pride and joy in cleaning the sterling, then these sales are great.
You know, my mother used to have a sterling silver set, and when they're clean and they're displayed, it really is spectacular. It's beautiful to look at. I mean, you don't have to be somebody who enjoys art. It's striking. It's like doing something with home decor, and it just, when it's presented properly, it is striking. This is sterling silver presented. It really is.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Now,
I will say that one thing that is nice about the plates that are produced, the porcelain dinnerware that's produced for that Tiffany over the years. Now, if you do like porcelain, something that has Tiffany's name on it, there are, if you are diligent enough, you can find really beautiful plates made for Tiffany that are very affordable. You don't have to break the bank to start collecting Tiffany dinner plates, but unless you start getting into like the sterling silver and some of the really, really early things, but things from the 30s, 40s and 50s porcelain, sometimes if you look diligently, you can find affordable Tiffany dinnerware. So it's there's something out there really for everybody as far as the Tiffany name goes, because I know everybody considers that to be the gold standard, and no pun intended there.
Or the sterling.
Yeah. But I would encourage people, beautiful porcelain on a table is so nice, even if you have to wash it by hand. So.
All right. You know, the tentacles of auctions have even reached out, a story that popped up on my newsfeed, magician, Ricky J. He's got a collection that Sotheby's is auctioning off this week. And they've auctioned it off. The total take for the auction was $3.8 million, which topped the initial estimate by almost $600,000.
Wow, he's I haven't seen that. When was that sale?
That would
be something, because
it was earlier this week, supposedly. But anyways, they $3.8 million. There were books, manuscripts, posters, and things like that, and that's a pretty good take for I would think for an auction like that.
Most definitely, there were actually 634 lots, and it was a two day sale, because I'm sure they broke it in half, but it was all sorts of ephemera. So there were books, manuscripts, vintage posters. There was various other erotica and a sprawling collection and other glimpses into a kaleidoscopic world of strongmen, sideshow acts, contortionists, occultists, and musicians. So some of them dating back to the 17th century. So it was probably, this was a lifelong collection that has come up. And oh, and there were several automatons. There's some really wonderful photos that that's online in on artnet.com in their blog, and it shows some wonderful early 19th century automatons. There was this one automaton, it's a magician, actually, and it's one that is that you just don't see. It's one, I think it's one of one known in existence, and it was estimated at I think $15,000 for this automata, which is a wind-up. So it's an early 19th century. It was usually some sort of action. So in this, there's a magic trick that takes place. So it was estimated at $15,000, and it ended up selling for $201,600 for this one piece. So when you have pieces that start selling like that, that's where it goes up. But also, because he's a magician, he also had some Houdini items, like Houdini posters. And there's one in particular, which is the Harry Houdini upside down in the water torture cell, that is a poster. And that actually ended up selling for $151,200, which is a world record for a magic poster. And there are, when it comes to posters, and we've talked about this, is that there's all sorts of categories. You have travel, you have advertising, you have movie. Well, you also have magic or magician posters. This went for $151,200, which is really great.
And for all the people out there who have grandparents or parents that are getting up there in age, this story will send you to look what they might have. A 98-year-old woman was going to move closer to her family in Michigan, okay? She's moving from Michigan to Pennsylvania. So she had an auction to sell things. She sold a storage unit that she originally purchased for $100 for $48,000. What it was an Eames storage unit. There's a picture of it here. I would never have it in my house, but there you go, folks. $48,000 on a $100 investment. So look through those items carefully and bring a professional in.
Most definitely. Yeah, I think that's the big takeaway, is that and let's look at the other side and play devil's advocate. For that $100, you might have only got a dollar for some things that are in some of the storage lockers. So
but what, you know, what's
please
interesting,
understand. It's
yeah, but
not
what's,
always
what's interesting about it is they were lucky enough to where they collected the $48,000. I mean, a lot of these things pass through, and it's maybe someone two or three sales down the road will actually strike at gold. But that's the thing, I think, that keeps bringing people back. You know, it's like golf. You know, sooner or later you're going to hit that one shot that is absolutely fantastic. But when is it going to be?
Right. Well, I like to say it's the lottery mentality. It's that, oh, I'm going to win. I know I'm going to hit it. I know it. And you just also become addicted to the thrill of, let's see what happens. And that's where you do need to partner with a professional, and you do need to know what you're getting yourself into, and never lose more than you can afford to lose.
Now, seeing as I've hogged all the time, do you guys have any news for me?
Well, coming up.
Oh, yes, Greg, coming up.
Yeah, coming up at Christie's. Yes, coming attractions for sure. Coming up at Geneva, Switzerland, at Christie's on November the 9th. And this is actually a totally amazing story. It's a pair of diamond bracelets that Marie Antoinette wore, and she's been painted with them, and the provenance, when she was arrested, that she put all her packed all her jewels away, sent them somewhere to be kept, and of course she never collected.
No.
unfortunately,
and, after her death, a number of years, they were opened, and it went down the line of succession, according to apparently her request, who she bequeathed them to. And they've been in the same family ever since. And they're coming up for auction. And the estimate, when she had them made, actually, it cost, in today's dollars, $4.6 million. She had, believe it or not, the Queen of France, she had to borrow money from her husband.
She had good taste.
Yeah. So, but today they're estimated to bring anywhere between $4 and $6 million, and they're in original condition. There was only one diamond added in the clasp to shore up the clasp, and they're just spectacular, absolutely spectacular. To have something so iconic historically come up for auction and see how great much provenance. It's going to great provenance. This is the kind of provenance that you just really, really hope you can find on some of these things, and it's there. And it's still in the same family. So it's going to be fantastic to see what this goes for.
The sky's the limit, right?
Yeah. As yeah, and say. I think there again, it's not a wild card. They kind of have an idea what it's going to sell for. But, you know, it could really just go nuts. I mean, $4 to $6 million seems like chump change compared to some of the things that paintings sell for, but hey, you know, it's the provenance. I think a lot of times people are pay for provenance more so than the intrinsic piece. Value of the item, and that's what they're looking for. And so this is impeccable. It's one of the most impeccable provenances I think I've seen.
Well, let them eat cake.
I was gonna say, if they can ever find the last piece of cake she ate that was saved, I probably would.
Check eBay. I'm sure it's on eBay.
Oh, I'm sure it's been up several times on eBay, right?
So, Tim, what's your schedule? Is your schedule calmed down, or is it busy this week?
Yeah, it's calmed a little bit. I had a client unfortunately have to have some medical procedures, so we canceled the trip this week, which I said that's perfectly fine and we'll reschedule. But then right before Thanksgiving, I'll be in New York. So I'll be in New York City and working on a big estate there. And then we'll be home for Thanksgiving. And then it should just I have to go to Washington, D.C. at the beginning of December. So I'll do the show from the Capitol.
All right.
When we're in December. But yeah, things are good. I'm trying to slow down before the end of the year.
All right, guys, I want you to have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Hey, sounds have good. A great week.
Thanks, buddy. Good luck Bye. With everything today.
All right, take care, guys. Tim Bye. Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frick and frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This here on Robinhood Radio. You could find them at tqag.com on the web.